Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, baby. May 2nd, 2022. It is 5 o'clock in the morning. It is your favorite duo, DiPietro and Rothenberg, and we are ready to roll. Very feisty. I mean, the NFL draft couldn't have gone better for the locals. Yankees with, I mean, all they do is win. Mets, all they do is win series. Rangers starting the postseason tomorrow night right here on 98.7 ESPN. It's me and it's Rick and it's all happening. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. Fantastic. You're fired up. Santiago's fired up. RJ hasn't said a word. Best time of the season. We got NHL playoffs kicking off tonight. Rangers with a big advantage, by the way. Big advantage to start the series.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Let me see. The big advantage in net? Where's the big advantage?
Oh, no. You're close. Warm. Why is there a big... Outside the fact that Shesterkin's probably going to win he's going to win the Vezina.
He is phenomenal. We know
he's
that.
Phenomenal.
But we've known that. Is it the injury to the Pittsburgh goalie?
Shesterkin? My man. Tristan Jarry looks like he's going to miss the first two games of the series,
yep.
At least.
He's doing a Joel Embiid.
Yeah, what a debacle that is for the Sixers.
Ugh.
Poor Andrew. I feel bad for him. Let's not get into that, but I
Stop
feel bad.
It. Stop it.
This is what it goes. It goes back to this is what happens when you celebrate a Super Bowl by eating horse poop.
This is from that?
You can't have nice things. They do it. The sports gods will no longer give you nice things if that's how you're going to celebrate.
But wait, what do you mean you feel bad?
People I'm should so be jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
People should feel bad for us. Not us feeling bad for others. Who do you root for? You're an Islanders fan. Now, that's been good, but this year was not great. You're a Jets fan. That's been a debacle for a very long time.
Draft was good, though.
No. I'm talking about what you've seen. Yes, okay. Draft. I think the draft was great. I think the Giants did very well. I think the Jets did as well as anybody in football. Like, I will sit here and say I don't think there's anybody that did better than the Jets. That's how I feel. I think they did sensationally. But the point is, You're a Mets fan, you're a Jets fan, Islanders, who have had a good run, but they haven't won in almost 40 years now, Knicks. I mean, come on, what do you mean you feel bad for him?
I like Andrew. I feel bad. He loves his Sixers.
No, because I've had it.
They had a great closeout game against Toronto.
They sure did.
And for some reason, Joel Embiid's still in the game. And He takes an elbow right to the face, breaks
you
it over
ruin
the ball.
Everything.
And he's
concussion.
Out for at least the first two games of the series.
Yeah, trust me. A guy that's had one of those orbital bones, it's not great.
So if he does return, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Sixers. We'll get right to the NFL draft in a moment. If he does come back, you worry about his effectiveness?
No,
he's got the thumb and the face and the concussion.
See, yeah, that's the thing. So once he clears the concussion protocol, it just seems like one thing after another. Things are going good. They look good. All of a sudden, he's got the torn ligament in his thumb, and now, in a great closeout game, he ends up breaking his face. It's just not what you want, Dave. It's just not what you want.
It's not what you want. No, and I agree with that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't understand why. You're a very sympathetic figure.
I am.
Like, you look at others and sense that they're struggling. You look at others and recognize the pain that's happening for them. I look at life in general and think about me, especially with sports. I'm worried about me.
Yeah, and this is why people love and respect you. I mean, this is what makes this is like the yin and the yang. You
I
care about
the victim
you
because I am the victim.
Like, and I don't care about everybody.
What? Which makes maybe you a better person. But why do I care about the Philadelphia 76ers?
No, I don't think you care about the Sixers.
Because I don't like the Sixers. I will say this. Like, with RJ, for RJ's sake, I hope that things work out well for the Niners. Because I don't really care about the Niners. I used to hate the Niners, but no longer. For your sake, not the Islanders, because I don't like the Islanders. But I hope that you know, things work out well with the other teams you root for.
Well, I appreciate that.
But if I don't like that team, and you don't, I know for a fact you don't like Philadelphia.
No, I could care. Listen, I could care less. I hope they lose. I'm just saying I feel bad for Andrew a little bit. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Stop.
Okay. All right. I don't. For the record, I don't.
It's not fair.
Well, life's not fair. All right. I feel bad for me. I haven't seen my team have a winning record in 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're making all great points. Terrific points. Let's look at the bright side. You got Wandale Robinson. Solid.
No, I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to let you, of all people, to be that guy. I'm not going to let you be that guy.
No, listen.
Honestly, you're better than that. Don't do that. You don't know. You never heard of Wandale Robinson until.
No, but I've heard of. I can tell you who I've heard of. I've heard of John Mechie. I've heard of David Ajabo.
Okay.
So, I've heard of Trey McBride.
Is it fair to say that it's obvious?
Sky Moore.
The Joe Shane.
George Pickens.
I understand. George Pickens, who had some real issues, right, on and off the field.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say the Giants looked at Wandale Robinson and said, we'd like him better than these guys?
Well, I would hope so, yeah. Okay. That's why you would draft him.
All right,
you would
so you don't give Shane and Dable the benefit of the doubt now?
No, I have to. I have no choice.
All right. So listen, in 3 years, we might have this conversation. God willing, we're still doing this show. We might have the conversation of how in the world did they take Wandale Robinson over any number of those guys. But now you're going to do that?
No, listen, I'm just busting chops is what I'm doing. Okay. It just seemed a little peculiar, the pick, is all I'm saying.
It did seem, I would agree, a little peculiar. I think they get the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, to the point where the GM had to address it. I mean, the GM actually made a point. Like, okay, I just drafted. I mean, how big is Wandale Robinson?
He's little. He's 5'9"?
He's 5'8".
Yeah.
He's 5'8". And then you take Flott, who's like 175 pounds, to the point where the GM's like, well, I took those two guys, so I figured I'd have to start drafting some big guys.
And you know what? Do you know how many new guys? This is amazing. The Giants, between free agency and draft, they've added on the offensive line.
Well, I mean, just talk about draft here for a quick second. I mean, they drafted 11 players.
Yes. I thought they did great moving back a couple times.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is, again, they're in a different, and I thought that you had, was it Connor Rogers you had on Saturday?
Yes, he's good, right?
He's awesome.
I know.
But I thought
if we didn't have this love affair with Mel, we could always dip over to Connor.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Mel's cost me all sorts of money.
Did you send the most recent?
No, today. First package goes out today.
So you have to do two shippings because of the size?
Yeah, well, I can't fit 24 cans in one cooler.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the problem.
But Mel came through.
Mel came through, but I'll tell you this. I would say this shipment is probably when the wiretaps start for me. So if you find, like, if I'm calling you from payphones and stuff, it's probably because I feel like the house is being bugged.
You have a collect call from the whipped cream man.
DNR, we cream your pie. No, but I thought he said the best thing because of where the Jets are at now is between the moves they made in free agency, which, I mean, it's, you know, some veteran guys that do it, they have to take that step. But they need elite talent now, right? Like, they need to, like, and that's exactly what they did. We don't need a bunch of, you know, we don't need picks in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. We need blue chip elite talent that's going to step in right away and have an impact.
Oh, I think the Jets did sensationally. I mean, and I mentioned to Connor on Saturday, I said, so you got what you consider to be the top corner, you got the top receiver, you got the top running back, you got the second best tight end, you got Jermaine Johnson at 26 when a lot of people thought he was going to go top 10. I mean, you did. If you're a Jets fan, here's the thing. If you're a Jets fan and you wake up this morning and you're listening to this show and you're not on cloud 9, then you want to be miserable. Then being unhappy about being a Jets fan is just a way of life for you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And how about, I was actually reading some of the reports too, that Joe Douglas was going to trade up back into the bottom of the first round if he had to get Breece Hall. Like, that's how much they wanted him.
Yeah. Well, he's the best running back on the board. So now you're set at running back, you're set at receiver, you're set at tight end. I mean, I was reading this yesterday, and this gave me a little pause. Sounds like George Fant is going to be your starting left tackle.
Yep.
That they don't want Becton to be a left tackle anymore. So that worries me a little bit. But, I mean, they added an all-pro guard in Tomlinson. So if the offensive line is good, then you do realize that the Jets' offense will come down to one person because they've set everything else up.
Zach Wilson, that's what
it should be, and that's Zach Wilson.
And I want to talk about the Yankees, and I want to talk about the Mets. But, I mean, can we, for the love of God, and you know how much I love the Jets, can we please, could we keep Woody away from, like, the social media posts?
From Twitter.
And him talking to the draft picks and everything else. It's like, it's cringeworthy. It's just, I mean, I can't take it.
It's
like, they released the one video where they drafted, it was Max Mitchell. And it's like, they had the scout that, which I thought was really cool,
That was nice.
That was awesome. And you could tell how nervous he was. And then the phone goes to Douglas, and then it's Sala, and then it's Woody. And Woody's like, can you hear that? Can you hear that, Max? And he's like, come on, guy. Like, you could see him on the video. Like, come on, let's hear the cheers. That's for you, Max. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a little
awkward.
And
then there's the thing with Sauce Gardner. It's like, come on, man, please.
It's a little awkward. Speaking of awkward, can we just go up and announce the picks? Do I need Ed Marinaro
Goodness.
Or did you see when, like, and I tried to explain this on Saturday, and I don't think I did a very good job. Like, a man was carrying another man within his, like, overcoat, and did you see that? Did you see that one?
I heard you talking about it on Saturday.
I didn't even know. Like, it's like a circus act. Now, did you see it or no? Did you not see it? I think it was when, where were they from? They were from somewhere. Wherever they were from, it was that.
It has to be one of the shows in Vegas.
I learned after they were TikTokers.
Oh, okay.
And I think they were from Indianapolis. So they go up, and you could tell that there's something awkward. There's a very large man, like very large, with an overcoat. And I was like, oh, no. Like, what is this going to be? And then, like, I guess, like, the bottom, like, the what are they, stilt, like, the stilt portion of that falls onto the ground, pretends he's now passed out, and then, like, the guy that was inside the overcoat, then, like, you know, I guess it's a whole skit, picks up the draft card, and he run. It was like, what the hell is going, what is happening?
Yeah, it was, and then the whole, like, and then when they had, you know, Chris Angel, and he's doing the spinning around.
I mean, Ed Marinaro, I mean, and this guy was a big time actor at one point. What has happened with him? He was on Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, they had to say, hey, come on, just read what's on the card, right? Let's go.
Right? I mean, oh my, I mean, isn't that what you want to do? Do I need any money to go up and start doing a magic show?
I would prefer not, but. I mean, it's Vegas, baby.
I get it, but my goodness. But overall, I mean, you got to be feeling. And the phone line's open, by the way. 1-800-919-3776. You got to feel like a cloud nine this morning, I would think, right?
Yeah, I feel great. I think they did a really good job. I think both GMs did a really good job. I think Joe Douglas had more of a sense of urgency, right? Like, I mean, I think he, at some point during the draft process, I think he actually said to Jermaine Johnson, we're going to come up and get you if we have to. And that's exactly what they did.
They tried to move up apparently to 15 to get him.
I think it's like somewhere around like pick 13 is when they started making phone calls to try to get up to get Jermaine Johnson. But that's, I mean, again, this is what happens though, because I mean, between the Sam Darnold trade and when Joe Douglas flees Seattle,
yes,
it's like all of a sudden now you have this, you have the extra first round pick, you have the extra second round pick, so you have the ammunition to, you know, to go up and do things that you want to do like that. Be aggressive.
No, I think it's great. I think they did phenomenally. And now you kind of have started to eliminate the excuses, right? Offensive line should be good. You've got terrific receivers now, and a lot of them. Tight end room, three guys, right?
Yeah, Ruckert, that was back, awesome, too. Did you see the video of Ruckert when he found out that he was getting drafted by?
Yeah, he's a Long Island kid.
Yeah, his dad was. I mean, his dad was so fired. He's doing the JETS. I mean, it was awesome.
It is absolutely thrilling. And you look at the running backs. I mean, you like the kid you had last year. He was very good. When he went down, there was a big drop off. And now you have a guy that should be equally as good, if not better than him. So you've done everything you can in your power to make it easier for Zach Wilson. So good on them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you said it. I mean, not just for Zach Wilson, though. For Robert Saleh, too. Is that, I mean, I know this is only year two, but there are some expectations that, you know, this team is much more competitive and that they start to win a little bit.
And that's exactly what you need. Look, are they going to go to the postseason? I find that almost an impossibility.
Well, depends on who you listen to. Because, I mean, I heard a couple different people. Jets are a playoff team now. I was like, oh, can we just relax, please? Can we relax?
I would say it's you could be five times better than you were last year. I find it almost an impossibility of the Jets going to the postseason this year.
No, I heard a couple different times. Well, you know, with this extra wild card, with what the Jets have done in free agency in the draft, this will be a playoff team. I'm like, come on. They won four games, man. Can we just relax
four
a
games,
little bit?
And have you seen the AFC?
See, yeah, I don't. Listen, you don't have to tell me.
No. I'm not convincing you. It's just other people. That take is frustrating.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You know what's unbelievable? We have two people on the line right now from literally Israel. You can't walk down the streets of Jerusalem without people kibitzing about, boy, that's DiPietro and Rothenberg. That is something.
They
now
have
you
lunch
look
with
skinny,
us.
Now would you eat this, please?
Which is funny because it's the opposite with my grandmother. They'll be like, you look fat.
I get the worst of both worlds. I'll get from my mom, like, you look heavy. Would you like an extra serving of pasta?
She wants you to be happy.
I'm not sure about that.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I think she loves me. I'm not sure that my happiness is ultimately what she's looking for.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you. The big 6 o'clock hour. 1-800-919-3776. Jump aboard. Welcome aboard. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm going to let you choose because I thought there were big Mets and Yankees moments over the weekend. Mets or Yankees, where do you want to dive into here?
I think we dive into the Yankees.
Okay. Yankees don't lose. Starting Nine pitching, straight. Phenomenal. Bullpen, unbelievable. Timely hitting. I mean, what do you say about the Yankees right now?
I think you say exactly what you just said. I mean, they've won 9 straight. I mean, it's their best start through 22 games since 2003 when they were 18-4. So, I mean, we're at a much different place now than we were to start the season.
Much different place.
Now, Cole's last two starts have been great.
Phenomenal, right? Really, really phenomenal. And the bullpen, is just, I don't know, and I mean this sincerely, that I have ever seen a bullpen with the depth that this Yankees bullpen has.
They just optioned Clark Schmidt back to the minors. He hasn't allowed an earned run since April 10th.
I mean, Rick, they have, would you not say they have like 8 guys in the pen that you're like, yep, like him, I like him, I like him. I've never seen anything like it before.
No, their bullpen is a weapon. It's elite. I mean, Michael King is, I mean, this is where he belongs.
But they are filthy.
Well, they got overpowering nasty stuff. Yeah. And Aaron Boone knows it. Like right. Severino Severino was just okay last. I mean, he was fine.
No, he was not. Yeah, no, he was not great by any stretch yesterday.
But then I mean you bring the bullpen in and they find a way to. And here's the thing with the Yankees and the way they're winning these games, right? I mean, you had the blowout on Friday, then you have the close game. Gerrit Cole pitches awesome, where you score. I mean, you scored a run, you know, on a double play and two sacrifice flies.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, I thought the play in that game in the sixth, Trevino made an awesome play behind the plate. It had runners on second and third, actually saved the run, and then Cole gets the strikeout.
What would have been a wild pitch?
Yes.
That was a great play. Yep.
Great defensive play. And then yesterday, you're down 4-1. You fight back. It all starts in that seventh with Connor Falefa. Has that 12-pitch at-bat, leadoff walk. That gets you going. Then you got Rizzo, you know, busting it from third on that Donaldson ground ball to shortstop. Mm-hmm. He beats it out, gets, you know, scores. King comes in. He's great. Judge's last 11 games has been awesome.
Hit two more yesterday.
So, yeah, I mean, they have, like, again, I understood why there was frustration to start the season, right? Because it was less about, you know, the first 10 games and more of, you know, what you saw the previous season into that wild card game. Now it was just, for a lot of people, a continuation. And, you know, last year, pitching was, you know, the starting pitching was surprisingly good for people last year, but they didn't hit. And last year was a freaking roller coaster, right? Like, it was just up and down, up and down. And then you came into the season with high hopes, high expectations. You know, fans weren't thrilled with what the Yankees did in free agency, like the additions that they made. And now, you know, fast forward to where we're at now, where they've won 9 straight. Rizzo's been awesome. Kiner Falefa, I mean, once he got past that whole, like, you know, pressure of being a Yankee, once he got past that hurdle, he's been really good. Cole, like I mentioned, last two starts for Cole have been lights out. And, I mean, you got Nasty Nestor, who I think there was still some questions about. He was really good last year, but I mean, it was a surprise to a lot of people. Could he be the same guy? And he's
absolutely. How about this now? How many teams in baseball do you think not one of their pitchers do you dislike? Right, if you're a Yankees fan right now, your starting rotation, excellent. Excellent. Your bullpen, maybe the best you've ever seen. Is there one guy on this pitching staff that you look at and you're like, yeah, I don't really care for him? Like, that's unheard of.
Well, I think there is still, like, Chapman still, I think.
Okay, but you don't, like, he's not bad. You don't look at Chapman. Like, oh, God. Like, I mean, and he's still been good this year. Now, he has moments where, and you never know when they're going to happen, yeah. Right, where he just can't find the strike zone. But, okay, even if he has one of those moments, then they get him out of the game.
Yeah, because they have options. Yeah, I mean, this is, again, I mean, so we're 22 games in. They've won 9 straight. They're, you know, 16-6. Right now, they have the second most runs in the AL. They're tied for first in home runs in the AL. They got the third best batting average, second best OPS, and oh, by the way, they have the best team ERA in the American League.
And very deserved. Like, they have, I mean, their pitching staff is, it's really, it's unbelievable.
But now we're going, and
now,
here it
now,
is.
Now you go to a different animal, that's right.
And now we're stepping up in class.
That's we'll right, because goes. You know what happens if the Yankees lose 2 out of 3, and understandably so, it's going to be, you can win 9 games in a row against Cleveland and Baltimore and Kansas City, but when you play the big boys, that always is an issue. That's what the conversation will be on Thursday morning if they lose this series.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the conversation was after, you know, what happened with Baltimore earlier in the season is, hey, listen, I mean, if you want to win this division, we've seen it over the past couple of years. The team that destroys Baltimore and plays well in division ends up winning the division. So take care of the really bad teams, which they've done. And now, you know, we'll see how that looks now that we're playing in Toronto.
Here is Aaron Judge on this team clicking on all cylinders before they start this Toronto series.
Yeah, you want to kind of be clicking on all cylinders, you know, especially going against a division rival and especially how hot the Blue Jays have been. But I've just been really impressed with the guys up and down the lineup, just good quality at bats, especially Izzy, man. You know, doesn't matter if it's off-speed pitch, fastball, guys on base, not on base, man. He's been a real fire plug for us and getting us started, and it's been fun to watch.
I mean, there's nothing negative to say right now. They are rolling. And the only thing you can say is, well, they're beating teams that aren't very good, but that's not their fault. That's what you're supposed to do. You play the teams that aren't good, you beat up on them. That's what we've complained about with the Yankees in the past. So, listen, I was hard on them early in the season. I think that they made a few moves in the offseason that were head-scratching and puzzling and not what a lot of people expected. They started out very slow. You had some concerns about Gerrit Cole since then. I mean, they've won, 11 of 12, 9 in a row? You have to feel great about where they are at the moment.
Yeah, and you should. And you should. And now, I mean, going up into Toronto, you'll have, you know, you'll have Montgomery, Tyone, and Cortez.
And I guess everybody's vaccinated too. So what we thought could be a story is no longer a story.
They took care of, yeah, they took care of, again, this is a team that has championship aspirations. So they wanted to make sure they took care of that. And they'll have everyone available against a team that a lot of people feel like is their, you know, biggest competition for the division, and then maybe even to get out of the American League.
What's the matchup tonight? Not a bad matchup. What, Montgomery against Ross Stripling? Is that right?
Stripling, and then you got Tuesday. You got Tyone Manoah, and then on Wednesday
he's excellent, Alek Manoah.
Yeah, and then you got Nasty Nestor versus Kikuchi.
A little Kikuchi.
But you got, I mean, it's a pretty good stretch here. So you got three in Toronto, and then you have
Texas over the weekend?
You're back home. You got a three-game set against Texas. Then you got two more against Toronto. And then you're at the White Sox for four.
White Sox have been scuffling, huh?
Yeah. I think they'll figure it out.
I think they will as well. But they have not been playing very good baseball.
No, they haven't been. I mean, they haven't you know, played up to everyone's expectations. But, I mean, they lost to Jimenez. Luis Roberts is a stud. Anderson's a stud.
Abreu's not hit at all yet.
You know who's awesome, and it's unfortunate that he never stays healthy?
Hang on. Awesome, but never stays healthy.
And he's off to a great start.
Awesome, never stays healthy, great start. Can I get a hint?
I don't even think you need a hint. This team is currently in first place in their division.
Mike Trout.
Nope. Surprising. RJ already got it.
Of course he did, because RJ's better at this than me.
We were just talking about the White Sox. It's not the White Sox, but...
But a twin?
Could be a twin.
I don't know. Carlos Correa?
No, Byron Buxton.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
He's a stud.
He is something else, huh?
He's 2 for 5 last night. Had another home run. That's 7. Like, he's awesome.
And I think didn't he already get hurt this year, though? Like, he missed a little bit of time.
That's the problem with him, man. Yeah, I mean, he has the talent to be one of the best players in baseball.
He's a special player.
He's a really, really good player.
Maybe Correa knew something.
Well, yeah, they were going to pay him. They were going to pay him $35 million, and he'd have an opt out after the season.
No, but I'm just saying, like, there was a thought of if it doesn't go well, they'll just trade him and get prospects. But maybe they'll be in this thing all season long.
They could. It's early. I mean, look what
they're
the Angels.
Not an untalented baseball team.
No, they're not an untalented baseball team. But, I mean, this is, again, I mean, we're just getting into May. There's a lot of season left.
Tonight is one of those stressful sports nights for me as well. Again, here we are. And tomorrow, too. When you have the overlap, you got baseball, you got the NBA, and you got the NHL postseason, and the Rangers are involved or the Islanders are involved, it becomes stressful. So you realize what you have tonight? You have huge game for the Yankees, huge game for the Mets, playoffs and hockey start, and the NBA rolls along. You got Heat and 76ers.
Good first game, too, in the NHL, by the way. Good first game.
Wait, what? Carolina and Boston?
Yes, that's
a series that moves the needle for you?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of series that move the needle, but that's going to be a good test. I mean, Carolina's been a really good team all season long. They're going to have their hands full, I think, with Boston.
And then, I think I saw this. The Mets play 2 tomorrow?
The old doubleheader tomorrow?
I think they play at 3:10 and 7:10. That's what I thought I'd see.
I like the old 3 o'clock game.
So now I got 2 games from the Mets tomorrow. Yankees go up against Manoah, and the Rangers have game 1. That's a lot for me.
That is a lot. But again, it's the best time. This time of year right now, we just had the NFL draft. I mean, we had that game last night, yesterday, the Warriors.
What a game, huh?
Memphis game was an awesome game.
A game that was.
How are you throwing Draymond Green out? I mean, it's the playoffs, man.
It's disgusting. I mean, that was a flagrant 2?
It's a reputation flagrant 2 is what that is.
It's brutal. All right, let's see, I'm having this moment where I'm thinking if I go to a call, it's going to go past when RJ is going to want me to break, and now he's going to yell at me. So what I'm realizing right now, Rick, and I don't think you have the same fear, I'm scared of RJ.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
Because if I would have gone to that call, which ordinarily I would just, oh, I got a call. Let's go to the call. We're talking NBA. We'll get involved with that. Now I go late. Now he yells at me.
Yeah, you don't know what I know.
And I don't want that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So Friday night, I did the show Saturday morning. You heard my take. I would like to hear your take. I was happy they got the no-hitter, but I'm being honest with you, Rick. When you use five pitchers and walk six guys, it's still a no-hitter. It loses some of the luster for me personally. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. Five pitchers, six walks, 159 pitches. Yeah, it's just I was happy that they won. I think it's cool. I mean, for them that they had the combined no-hitter. But combined no-hitters, regardless of who I root for, don't move the needle for me at all.
Well, Miguel threw what? Like 90-something pitches in five innings, too.
88, yeah.
Right. So it's just about at 9. That's a lot of pitches to allow no hits in five innings.
It's a lot of pitches. First of all, he wasn't economical with his pitches. And now, today, especially with where we're at in the season, I mean, that's priority number one, if there's any hope of you being allowed to pitch nine innings to complete the no-hitter. Like, there's no chance. I mean, you're at 88 through five. There's no way. There's no way they're going to allow it to happen.
No. I mean, he would have had to throw 140 pitches.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out last time, the Mets threw a no-hitter.
With Johan Santana, exactly. So I got a lot of, on Twitter, people calling on Saturday, you're not as excited as you should be about this no-hitter. This is a big deal. I'm sorry. I wasn't that excited about it. I'm not saying it's not worthy of mention. I'm not saying it's not a cool feat. But a no-hitter in its own right, to me, doesn't have the same luster it used to. And now when you're talking about six walks, it waters it down. And now when you talk about five different pitchers, and I heard Howie talking about it on the radio broadcast on Saturday, saying, that's really impressive. Like that five guys could all be on to not allow a hit. Listen, I don't take anything away. It's great that five guys were all able to be, have unhittable stuff, no-hittable stuff. But again, five guys with a no-hitter and six walks, it waters it down for me.
Yeah, it's not for me. Like I mentioned, it's cool for those guys. It's cool. I mean, I think that James McCann actually asked for home plate as a souvenir. I mean, to catch a no-hitter. I think he did that last time he caught a no-hitter, so that's awesome. That's great. But no, I mean, and to your earlier point, I would actually say with where we're at in baseball and analytics and, teams not, can't wait to get into their bullpens. I mean, it'd be pretty impressive throwing a no-hitter now, I think.
What?
One pitcher throwing a no-hitter?
No, listen, you're right, but I don't think it's as exciting. Maybe I'm wrong, as it used to be. Like, when I was a kid, you throw a no-hitter, that's a huge deal. I think it's lost some of that luster, no?
No, for me, I don't think so. No, I mean, you don't get a chance to, I think what's lost some of the luster is starting pitching in general, just because of how teams choose to use the starting pitchers.
Well, because at the first sign of trouble, you're out of the game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people get frustrated by that. Because again, I mean, I love knowing that, I think last night's a perfect example. I'm turning on the television and I'm going to get Max Scherzer, and he's one of those guys that he's going to pitch as long as he wants to pitch.
That's right.
I'm not going to have to deal with, we're going third time through the order. None of that garbage. He's an ace, so he's going to go out there. He's going to have the ball in his hands.
He's going to give you up to 100 pitches, maybe more if necessary, and when he decides he's done, now he's done.
And that's it.
And that's what you got last night. And he was not phenomenal, but good enough to get the win, and the Mets scored some runs last night, and they get the victory. And here's the thing. We'll hear from Buck in a moment on the no-hitter and more. All they do is win right now. We're May 2nd. They haven't lost a series as of yet.
No, it's seven straight, which is really impressive. And you're right. I mean, last night, Scherzer with the... enough with Kyle Schwarber, all right? Enough. I've had enough of him. And he just, I mean, he just destroys, the Mets.
I yelled at Alex during the game.
What did he say?
Well, we went out to dinner with my mom. We get back in. The game is 2-1 Mets. And Schwarber comes up. We walk in the house. Schwarber's up. He goes, he doesn't scare me. I said, would you please stop with this? He's like, I'm not scared of Schwarber. I'm not scared of him. Not with Scherzer. Home run. I was like, do me a favor. And I legitimately got angry. I was like, would you stop talking? I was like, stop saying anything. Just be quiet when it comes to this stuff. And then after the game, make these statements. He's like, I'm not scared of Schwarber. I was like, no, you just hit a second home run. So I became annoyed at him.
Yeah. You should be scared of what Kyle Schwarber has done to the Mets.
Guy's unbelievable power. He's hitting like 188. It doesn't matter.
All he
does is hit home runs.
Yeah, and then you had the Harper home run. But, I mean, I will say this about the Mets, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, is they got a big decision today. Big decision.
A big decision, or is it an obvious decision that this is what you have to do?
Let me explain to you why it's a big decision.
Okay, go ahead.
Because of what the guy who was mic'd up last night that's in the first year of a 10-year, $341 million contract, that he would not be happy if Robinson Cano gets released.
All right, so Lopez, he's like their designated hitter, right? Lopez, they go after us, we go after them with Lopez. He packed up, he's gone.
Except he can't hit anybody. Is the problem. He can't hit people.
Well, he did last night.
No, he tried to hit Schwarber. He couldn't hit Schwarber. He was trying to hit Schwarber, but he couldn't hit him.
Right, but then who did he hit? Hoskins after?
Well, it doesn't matter. You're trying to hit Schwarber, though.
I understand. But you know what's funny to me is they gave warnings. They gave warnings.
At that point, who cares?
And then but just play with me for a second here. They gave warnings. He hit a batter.
He hit boom.
Okay, but they didn't throw him out of the game.
It looked accidental. The intention was to send the message to Schwarber.
All right,
because they hit Lindor.
But you can't send Dom Smith down.
Well, Dom Smith has options. I'm just saying, Dom Smith has. Listen, you know what I would do.
It's time.
I don't have to tell you what I would do.
It's time. I understand Lindor loves him, but Lindor should also care about the best player being on the team. And Dom Smith is clearly a better player than Robinson Cano at this point.
Well, he's more versatile than Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano doesn't play a good second base. I mean, he has barely any range. He's 39 years old. You don't want to clog up the DH spot, right? So, I mean,
what does Cano do well?
Right now, he's just a good clubhouse guy, apparently.
Okay.
He's only had 43. I mean, he's only had 43 at bats.
But it doesn't look like he can hit anymore, right? Would you agree with that?
Not clean, at least.
Okay. He has zero range. You have McNeil playing, phenomenally.
Awesome.
Dom Smith is the best first baseman you have on the team. I'm telling you this, and I understand it might be a tough decision. If you move Dom down to AAA and keep Robinson Cano, there will be rightfully so, an uprising of Mets fans.
All right, here's my only question to you, though. I mean, you're still on the hook for, $37 million bucks. For Robinson Cano, which is no more. I mean, that means nothing to Steve Cohen. But because Dom Smith has options. See, for me, the only reason that you wouldn't send Dom Smith down is the fear that you would lose him mentally. Like, he'd be so upset that he's going down.
Would you blame him for that?
No, I wouldn't. And you could see him. And you saw in his at-bats last night, like, the sense of urgency. Like, he realizes it. Like, he knows what's
happening. And he had a great night last night.
He had a really good night last night, but he hasn't hit well to start the season.
But he's been much better of late. And let me ask you this. Who's a better hitter, Dom Smith or Robinson Cano? Is it close?
No, I think Dom Smith is a more versatile piece, but he has options. So my only question to you would be, if you weren't worried about Dom Smith just mentally just being so upset, so destroyed that you lose him, do you give Robinson Cano a little bit more time to see if he can do anything?
No, I would not. If
you thought it was going to upset the clubhouse.
I'm not doing it. Let's take a listen to Buck. He discussed it last night on the Mets' impending roster cuts.
It's tough, period. And, we're going to have to part ways with someone especially one now with Sean Reed out, Foley. It's going to be painful. But, you know, got some good players.
They do, and it's not an easy decision. And I guess that's what the better teams have to do, right? Is you have such a talented roster that you need to make this decision. But to me, this is clear and obvious. It is.
I think it is, too. And I think A-Rod mentioned it last night that he would keep Dom Smith. All I'm saying to you is that Francisco Lindor was not good at all last season, and he struggled. And now to start this season, for whatever reason, he's slowing things down. He's more used to being here in New York, the pressure and everything that comes along with it. If part of that success is tied to the fact that, you know, Robinson Cano is a guy, you know, a veteran guy that's been there, done that, had success in New York that he's leaning on, do you want to risk upsetting that?
It's a conundrum.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How much of the new app did you use this weekend?
I used it on Saturday.
So you were out doing errands, taking Milo to, you guys went golfing, I heard. You were using the app.
I used the app, yeah. It's very easy.
It's almost idiot-proof, right?
It's almost like, I hate to even say this, it's almost like they had idiots in mind when they
designed the app. It's almost like they were like, let's make this thing so Rothenberg can use it. And they did.
Successful. Yeah, I mean, I pressed the button. Easy to download. You walk me through it. I press the button, and boom, Saturday morning, instant Dave in my ears.
All right, sports! Sports! So easy. So, again, you go to the App Store, go to ESPN New York, spell out New York. I find that to be the easier way. Download the app, and it's just there. Like, there's no...
I am too smart.
There's no maneuvering. There's no, like, okay, let me find... Let's be honest now. Can we say it? The old app was very difficult to navigate.
I think that's an understatement, probably.
And the new app is gone completely the other way.
So you got big giant pictures. Like, there's a big giant box that says "Listen Live." There's a big giant picture of me and you. A big giant picture of the K Show, ENN. I mean, you name it.
Why does ENN get its own like window and we don't? None of our segments do.
Well, I don't think our segments are as long as ENN. I think CNN's like a full 20-minute segment.
Right. I don't know. I feel like we do some pretty darn good segments, no?
Well, maybe. I mean, we could do... No, because that wouldn't work. We could have a
frenzy like box there.
Nah, that's too quick, though. The frenzy's like... I mean, we go frenzy for like 7 minutes. We'd have to extend. We'd have to do a longer segment. Like, at the 5 o'clock hour, we'd have to do like a 20-minute segment.
Well, regardless, you can take us anywhere on the all-new, beautiful, gorgeous ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 ESPN radio shows and play-by-play streaming live. Catch up on what you might have missed on this show with the podcast, the Michael Kay Show, and so much more. The all-new ESPN New York app available now on the App Store and Google Play as well. 1-800-919-3776. People lined up. You want to get to some of the people?
We have to hear from the people.
All right. Matt on
calls,
the...
Calls.
Yes, RJ, I understand. Matt on the turnpike. Matt, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing really well.
So I'm not even a New York Mets fan. I'm a fan of the best team in baseball, the New York Yankees. But I do have a comment about the upcoming roster decisions. So I think Cano's got to be the one to go. I get it. I'm not inside that locker room. I get it could be a tough decision. You know, they do say he's a big locker room guy. But at this point, Cano's 39 years old. He's not hitting. And if he's not hitting, what does he provide for the team? You know, he's not a utility guy who could play multiple positions. Dom Smith is a good first baseman. He hasn't hit yet, but obviously last night, you know, he showed what he can do. And, you know, I think Cano's got to be the one to go at this point. So
it has to be.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Matt. I mean, you lose credibility, don't you? If you send down a guy who's not nearly as good as the other guy right now, don't you? Am I missing something? Don't you lose credibility?
Well, I think it depends on how Robinson Cano was viewed in the locker room. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Because as far as, I mean, usefulness to the team right now, I would say that Dom Smith is...
Right, so that's your decision. Dom Smith is a terrific defensive first baseman.
Well, but here's the thing, though. But you don't lose Dom Smith. I think that's ultimately the point.
Okay, But you're better with Dom Smith than you are with Cano. On the field, you're better with Dom Smith than Cano.
Okay, but do you give Robinson Cano more at-bats to see if he can actually hit? But I mean, the only reason he's on the team to start the season was because of the money that you owed him.
Correct. Correct.
So are you willing now, after 43 at-bats, just to give up on the money?
See, in a perfect world, would I like to see Cano get another 35, 40, 50 at-bats to make an absolute determination? Yes. Like, I would like to know for sure. Because the last thing you want is for him to be cut, picked up somewhere else, and now all of a sudden he starts to hit again. But
I don't think you worry about that, though.
But I'm not in a perfect situation. Like, it's not a perfect world. And I have a second baseman who's better than him. He doesn't hit. He doesn't run. He doesn't field well. Doesn't have any range. And I have a guy who's, in my opinion, considerably better. But you're right. The one reason you would hang on to Cano is because he's a clubhouse guy. And maybe your best all-around player is having a great start to the season, and maybe there's something to it.
And you don't lose, like, you'd have to release Robinson Cano. You don't lose Dom
right.
Smith. You would send him down, and then depending on how he handles it. But, I mean, Dom Smith wants, I would imagine to a man, as much as he loves being a New York Met and they're winning and everything else, Dom Smith wants to play every day.
Well, you heard that. Didn't he say recently that if he wasn't going to play every day, he would prefer to be traded?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he... You know, that's what he wants, and right now, Pete Alonso, he wants to be your everyday first baseman. And not having the DH clogged up allows you the versatility now where, you know, you can play Dom at first and Pete will DH, or if you need to get a guy half day off, he can DH. Like, Robinson Cano's role on this team, especially...
So what would you do? What would you do?
I would have to sit down with... I would sit down with Francisco Lindor. Well, I mean, Buck's smart. He's been around. I mean, he knows what's going on.
See, and that gives me... that gives me some trust, I guess, is what I would say. Because in the past, I would have said, you know what, they're going to screw this thing up. I think even if they decide to send Dom down, they'll do it he'll do it like as a fatherly figure and do it appropriately. So I feel differently with that. But I mean, I really respect your opinion on this stuff because you've been a locker room guy for such a long time and you're very well thought out with this. What would you do? How would you play it?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll give you a perfect example. I can't tell you exactly what the season is. You can look it up because it was the year that he got traded. But we were off to a great start. Things were rolling. Everyone felt great. And out of nowhere, we decided that we were going to trade Jason Weimer, who was one of the glue guy, locker room guys that everyone liked. And then they traded him. Everyone was like, what are we doing? I thought we were trying to win. And then the wheels fell off. It sent the wrong message to the locker room, and things went sideways on us. I don't think that's going to be the case here, but, I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, a guy as accomplished as Robinson Cano, you know, being a sounding board for a Francisco Lindor or whoever else in that clubhouse. Because he's got to be, I mean, outside of, again, you know, I don't know how players view the whole PED thing, but, I mean, Robinson Cano was on his way to be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and the guy, like, he can, you know, he can roll out of bed and hit a baseball. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said about his influence in that clubhouse. And you trust that Buck kind of has, when I know he has the feel for, you know, what the right move is going to be here. Because you got to weigh the couple things. Like, if we release Robinson Cano, how's that going to affect the clubhouse, Lindor, or whoever else? And then if we send Dom down because he has options... Like, what does that do to him mentally?
Right. That's what you have to weigh, right? That's what you have to weigh.
Because, I mean, that's not an easy pill to swallow. Like, I mean, it's like I've been in those situations where
especially when it's unwarranted.
Well, yeah, but you know how it is. It's a business thing, man. It's you have options. You're going to be the one. Like, did you think Clark Schmidt was happy that he was being sent down?
Yeah, but Clark Schmidt is how old? I mean, Clark Schmidt is not a veteran player at this point. Like, Dom Smith deserves to be here now.
Okay, but Clark Schmidt's performance would tell you that he deserves to be here. Dom Smith, outside of being a veteran guy, I mean, he hasn't hit. He had a big night last night, but he hasn't hit.
He hasn't hit. But he's still your best defensive first baseman.
Okay, but he's not your first baseman, though. That's the other point. He's not your first baseman.
But maybe he'd also get more chances if you didn't have Robinson Cano kind of clogging things. And this is my own thing. I'm sure you probably have this too, and I'm sure Mets fans do. I mean, every time I watch Robinson Cano, I have this like pang of anger when it comes to Brody Van Wagenen. So
yeah, I feel the exact same way.
To rip that Band-Aid off and just eliminate that and those thoughts, I think for me personally, I would enjoy it.
I never enjoy stuff like that. But I mean, if it was up to me, he probably wouldn't have started the season with us. For what you just said, just pay him and be done with it. I mean, he's 39 years old. Like, how much does he have left? Especially because
clearly not a lot.
Well, unless he's doing whatever he was doing with the PED stuff, right? And that's again,
that's
37
a big
million
risk.
Is a lot of money.
That's a big risk.
Well, no, I don't think he's going to risk it at this point. You're not going to forfeit the rest of your money. This is it.
Let me pose this to you, and then we'll get to
make him a coach.
Radio.
How about that? Make him a coach. Listen, Robinson, we love you. We want you to be around. Let's release you and then make you a coach.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great. I mean, if he's a locker room guy, but he probably wants to still play.
Well, but I mean, it's like, hey, Robinson, you're 39. Let's admit it. You're kind of done. We want you to be a part of the organization
last year.
Moving forward.
Obviously, you needed the PEDs. I would that'd be the best of both worlds, but is that realistic to have happen? I don't know.
Stuff like that's happened before, where guys are kind of towards that. Not like this, but I mean, guys are at the end of it, and
I think it'd be great.
Have
it would
to make
be the
that
best
decision.
Of both worlds. It really would. All right, I'd say you need to tease so you can get callers lined up for free range radio, but you know what? You don't have to because they are already lined up. So let's do it. Little free range radio.
It's unpredictable.
I saw a picture of his body. Oof.
It's dangerous.
Uh-oh.
And it could get someone fired.
Then Bubich comes in and he shuts them down.
That's a good name.
It's free range radio.
Fully naked. Naked.
And it starts right now.
Free range radio brought to you by the fine people over at Jack Pocket. 1-800-919-3776. So they're lined up, but just quickly for everyone's edification, explain free range radio in 15 seconds or less, please.
All right, it's a Monday. A lot of stuff happened on the weekend. Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, a lot of stuff happened. Whatever you want to talk about. Could be NBA playoffs, Mets, Yankees, Rangers, you name it. This is your time to shine. 1-800-919-3776. Whatever you want to talk about.
All right, let's rip through these calls. D, Queens, D, you're free ranging. Have at it.
What's going on? Let's talk about the NBA refereeing, which has been terrible. Like, let's go through the list. Yesterday with Draymond, I don't even like the Warriors. Then Jose Alvarado gets elbowed into the face, and he's bleeding. He gets called for a foul. And the most egregious, of course, is the Sixers, where literally they broke Embiid's face, and he was the one who got called for a foul. And they tried to take out Harden's leg. They didn't call a foul. Like, what's going on with the NBA referee, man?
You're going on and on, and I actually looked away for a moment. I wasn't paying the closest of attention. Did he mention the Tatum one?
He didn't mention Tatum, no.
I mean, that was just a horrendous call.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
No.
It has not been good.
It's not. The Draymond was, I thought it was terrible. I'm reading on Twitter, though. It sounds like Jay Williams thought it was the right call to throw him out of the game.
No. Come on, Jay.
Yeah. Be better.
Jay's
Peter
getting soft,
Komak.
Though. This is what's happening. I can't imagine. He better toughen up, because you know what Bart's going to do in that 2-on-2.
Bart's going to elbow him right in the head. He'll kick him right in the knee, if that's the weakness that he shows. Peter Komak. Good morning, Peter. You're on Free Range Radio.
Hi, guys. I just want to talk about Buck Showalter and how I feel like he has really kind of been the heart and soul of this Met team, and how he really, I feel like, united this guy. And if Robinson Cano is anything to do with that, you know, the being united part, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think they're going to figure it out and keep him there.
How do you figure it out, though, Peter? Like, what is there to figure out? Either Dom Smith goes or Cano goes.
I know, but you can't have Dom Smith. He's too much of a... I don't know. Like, I really like
that. Well, who's playing first
idea.
Base? Tell me who's playing first base. If Pete Alonso is going to say, hey, you know, get you off your feet, let's have you DH. Who's playing first base? Canna?
It's gotta be Dom Smith, but they have to figure out a... Maybe they can...
I mean, they can send him down, but it looks like, I mean, you had Sean Reed Foley is going to need Tommy John, it looks like.
Yep.
So Lopez, they already packed him up. He's going down. And now, I mean, Guillorme's not going anywhere. Jankowski's
He's an elite shortstop, and you need
Jankowski's
a backup
shortstop. Jankowski's got no options left. Jankowski has no options left, so he'd have to clear waivers. He's not
and
going anywhere.
They love him, and he won't clear waivers.
No. So that's the guy.
It's between those two. And for me,
it's
Cano.
Smith has options.
And
so
they'll have
you
to
don't
figure it
him.
Out. That's what they'll have to do. Let's go to Corinne in Manasquan. Corinne, good morning. You're on Free Range Radio.
Hey guys, what's up? So I was listening to Dave's morning show on Saturday, and the idea was floated of the producer podcast, and it just needs to happen. I love all the producers, you know, Andrew Anthony, RJ Ray, Ty, and whoever else. And to be able to have a podcast every week of them just discussing what they want to discuss would be awesome, because these guys need more airtime. They're the backbone of the show, and, you know, it'd be great to hear more of them.
I mean, it was my idea, Corinne, and thanks for the call.
You know what happened, though? There's one fatal flaw with this whole idea.
No, it is brilliant,
no,
is what it is.
I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. Now, a couple things. Problem number one is it would turn into the Ty Butler show.
Yeah, but here's what you do. You have how many guys are legitimately more than capable of being on air that are producers? Both of the guys on our show.
I think all the producers. I think all the guys on our show, all the guys. I think Pusick's awesome. Andrew's awesome.
Yep, so that's four. You got Ty is five.
You got Ty and Jake.
Jake is six. So you're looking at a minimum of six. So you pair them off, and then you swap hosts all the time. And then they give you a sports podcast and behind the scenes of what goes on their show. Like, you have Andrew and Santiago, and Andrew's complaining, you can't believe what Peter did. You think Peter is bad. How about what Dave did? Like, it's brilliant. It is brilliant.
I almost feel like you hack Sparrowed this from the Stern Show with Baba Booey doing, like, the wrap-up show.
Listen, I would understand why you would feel like that, but I don't even listen to Stern, so I didn't even know that they did that.
Yeah, there's a wrap-up show. I think it's a great idea. My only concern from our side is if, God forbid, you heard, you know, Raymond, you hurt their feelings, then all of a sudden they don't want to talk anymore.
That's a Raymond issue. But if he's hosting the show, his feelings shouldn't, in fact, be hurt. And it's a podcast.
I think we do it. I mean, there's plenty of room in the new app. Plenty of room.
RJ, you in?
Yeah, sure. Sounds like fun.
Oh. Yeah, more work. Let's do it, RJ. Come on. Unless you have a wedding or something you have to go to.
Oh, all he does is go to bachelor parties and weddings.
Oh, I'm good for a while.
All right. Let's go to I pat myself right on the back. Andrew in Warwick. Andrew, you're on Free Range Radio.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great.
I happen to hear your show on Saturday as well for a couple of minutes, and I, not in a negative way, but feel your pain with Mother's Day and your anniversary on the... coming up. I have Mother's Day, my wife's birthday, and my son's birthday. So I know what you're going through, trying to figure that stuff out.
All on Sunday for you?
Well, last year was all on Mother's Day. This year, it's Sunday is obviously Mother's Day, and then their birthdays, they share a birthday on Monday.
Oh, that's not even a big issue. I mean, you have a birthday present for each. You have a cake. I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, but you got Mother's Day. Now you got the double birthday. I would think that a young child's birthday takes precedence over a significant other at this point, right?
I would agree. I think we just celebrate Mother's Day and Mom's birthday on Sunday, and then we go all in with it's his special day on Monday.
I think that's the only way.
That's it.
That's appropriate. Let's go to Rob in Levittown. Good morning, Rob. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. With Mel Kiper outing himself as a whipped cream addict, I just have one question for you guys. What is your whipped cream?
Wow, that's a great question. What are we addicted? Like, what is that one thing? Apparently, I mean, Dave's got all sorts of things.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
I like blackjack.
Eight balls.
You know what I have trouble with? Two things I have major trouble with, and I think you'll agree. A biscuit. Like Sherry makes biscuits.
Oh my God.
And she'll put them out, and I can't have one. I have like four, and it's a major problem. And then these, have you seen like the golden Oreos, the vanilla Oreos?
Oh yeah, I have at the house. Yep,
they are. I could. I'm not exaggerating with you. If I have one, I have the whole sleeve.
Yeah, my kids love that. I take the they want the vanilla ice cream with the Oreos mashed into the ice cream. They love
those two things. But I think I have a real addiction problem. Like, I have a lot of things that I could fall off the wagon for.
Yeah, I have a very addictive personality. I would say right now, at the moment, I mean, it was the mango, but I kind of slowed down on the mango. I think the frozen yogurt is just a real problem right now.
You can't say no.
No, once it hits my lips, and then if it's in the freezer, I got to eat all of it. It's too much.
It's a lot to handle.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @DR on ESPN.
Let's spend a minute on the Giants, and then we'll get to the calls. Now, I think if I had to grade them, and again, we never know, I would give the Jets a little higher grade than the Giants, but I feel like the Giants did a great job. I thought they traded down beautifully. Gettleman never traded down, right? He did it for the first time ever last year, and many people thought it was Judge that pushed him to do that. And the Giants did it twice. They moved from their second-round pick, and they moved back, and they gained more picks. They got 11 in the draft. Some of them people love, some of them they did not, but 11 picks. So it's kind of the old adage, right? If the first two are home runs, and then some of the later-round picks pan out, the Giants wind up having done very, very well. So, again, I heard you making fun of it. People, oh, this kid from Kentucky, they loved him. So we'll find out what kind of player he is. The kid from LSU, they liked him as well, the corner. And I feel like the Giants did very, very well in this draft.
No, I wasn't making fun.
Which is fine.
No, no, I was busting chops. Like, I mean, how many people know or have seen Wandale Robinson play football?
I'm not lying to you, and I never do. I never had heard of him before they made that selection.
I think people were scratching their heads a little bit is just because of what we heard with the whole Kadarius Toney thing, right? Like, he hadn't shown up. Right, new coaching staff, they want to give out the playbook, hadn't shown up. I mean, there was some talk that they were answering phone calls. Maybe they would move him. Turns out he does show up, which was a good sign, but it seems like, and you said this on Saturday, I mean, it's a little repetitive to have Toney and now Robinson.
I think it is.
So, I mean, that was really, and then on top of that, when you look at what went after Robinson, I mean, I think a lot of people watch Alabama, so they know that, you know, Mechie's a good wide receiver. A job, and it's Baltimore now. So, you know, Ajabo coming off the Achilles, that's kind of a steal there when you look at where, you know, where he was supposed to go. And then you had a couple other wide receivers. You had the center from Nebraska, who's a good player. You had Sky Moore go to Kansas City. Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, he goes to Indianapolis. Trey McBride, I know that's the tight end that you liked. He goes.
Right, I did. And I guess they got the tight end they liked out of San Diego State. Look, I'm not going to tell you that I wouldn't, if you would have given me the option, preferred other receivers at that spot. But I think that until we see those other guys develop into stars and we see very little from the guy they drafted, I'm going to, and maybe this is the wrong tack to take, I don't know, I will give the Giants the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and I think you have to. I mean, at this point, it's his first draft. And I mean,
right. If this was a year ago and this was Gettleman, I would not have.
Well, of course not. Right? Like, I mean, there's going to be, you're going to give him a little bit of a grace period, especially because you like the first two picks he made. And I mean, you're sitting here telling me you like how he manipulated the draft, like between the misinformation with the Kayvon Thibodeau stuff and then deciding, okay, you know, we have, you know, all these different draft cards. If, you know, it's a Kwanu and Neal because Stingley goes third, then we're going to take Thibodeau at five just because we don't want, you know, Carolina to trade out and then he's gone. And then we'll take, you know, we'll take Neal at seven. We feel good about that. I mean, they had a bunch of different trades lined up. They're moving around. They're nimble. They're flexible. Like those, all the things that Dave Gettleman wasn't, it seems like Joe Shane is. So, right. Yeah, he deserves right now and today, he deserves, until we see how this whole thing pans out, the benefit of the doubt.
And that's all I'm saying. Ronnie and Tom's River. Good morning, Ron. You're on 98.7 ESPN, buddy.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Ronnie?
Not much. Not much. What do you got?
Awesome. I kind of disagree with you guys that Wandale and Toney are the same person. I think that they both can win off the line, and Daniel Jones needs easier throws to keep the chains moving and to gain confidence and keep the offense on the field. I really don't care who's a wide receiver, but their first steps, if you see highlights on Wandale and you see Toney's potential burst off the line, I think those are two players that can win off the line. We need winners in the wide receiver core. Slayton, what is he? He's like a one-trick pony. He just runs fly routes all the time. And Galladay, he has no separation skills. So I just think that this lights a fire under Tony's butt, okay, because, yeah, they can kind of be the same. But also this gives another player with quickness off the line that can create more space for Daniel Jones.
Listen, I hope you're right. I've heard, and again, who knows, that they're both kind of, you know, Swiss Army knife players, right? Kind of gadgety players where you can use them at running back or throw them screens or they can throw the ball. And maybe they're not like the prototypical wide receiver. But again, I'm going to wait and I'm going to see what he develops into. And if he's great, great. And if he's good, terrific. And if he stinks, then there's going to be a time that you can beat up this new regime for that selection.
Yeah, it just feels like in the moment, like this upcoming season with what you have, and how you would expect they would want to use Kadarius Toney, that would be more his, you know, that would be his role. But again, I mean, listen, Sterling Shepard took less money. He's coming back. Like, who knows what he is, you know, as far as the long-term future.
Right,
here
he's
with
coming off an Achilles, so God knows what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Golladay has to be better. I mean, Toney was hurt a lot, and he didn't catch. I mean, as explosive as he looked, I mean, him and Golladay combined for zero touchdowns catches.
Which is amazing.
So, yeah, I mean, they need help.
Well, now your receiving core is what? It's Golladay, it's Shepard, it's Slayton, it's Toney, and it's Robinson. You should be able to be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the offensive line holds up.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And that's the key. Because, were you more talented at the skill position player last year? Maybe. But the offensive line, again, stunk. The quarterback couldn't stay healthy, and you never got to see any of it. If the offensive line is better, it makes everybody better on this team. Shooter in Stamford. Shooter, good morning. You're on 98.7, buddy.
Morning, fellas. You guys are kind of talking about it already, but Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, who do you think is going to have the better season, and did it change after this draft? And also, one quick drop. Come on, Billy, get out of here. Get to the chopper, Billy.
Yeah, but that's not a drop. That's not a drop we have.
He's making his own drop.
I like it. Oh, he's got the Karen one. Now he's got this one. Better quarter? Was that what he asked? The better quarterback
better
this
season? Yeah, who's
better season? I would think it would be Zach Wilson.
I hope like hell it's Zach Wilson. I really do. I really do. To sit here and tell you Daniel Jones, I would be lying just because I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to stay healthy for the entire season.
Well, you don't know that. And he's been here for, what, 3 years, and you've seen very little solid play from him.
Well, I mean, 3 years in his rookie year was his best year.
Right. So you've had two down years, two injury-plagued years, and Zach Wilson gave you 1 year. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend him. I didn't think he was great by any stretch, but he got better as the season went on. And now he has big-time weapons this season.
He's got much better weapons. Offensive line should be good. And
unknown, right? Like he still has a lot of unknown around him. Jones has some, but Jones has been here for 3 years.
3 years, and I think that, I mean, as far as, you know, arm talent and stuff like that is concerned, I think Zach Wilson is the more talented quarterback, and I think the one positive to come out of last year, and it wasn't necessarily because of Zach Wilson, it was more of what you saw from Mike White and even Joe Flacco, was Mike LaFleur is a pretty good offensive coordinator. Like, he calls a pretty good game. So
I'm
moving forward now, as long as Zach Wilson starts to kind of really, you know, immerse himself in the playbook. It looks like he's, you know, traveling around trying to create relationships with his receivers and stuff. Then, yeah, year two in the same system, he should benefit from that.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, too, this is first, like, Daniel Jones has been around 3 years, and they've done him no favors. Again, he's learning a completely new system this year.
Another new system. And if you can't succeed with a better offensive line and a new coach who was really brought in to help you, I think it's fair to say you're gonna move in a different direction.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.